Much like a picture of a loved one, so too the Word of God is that wonderful picture of our elder brother, Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We'll learn about him next on Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon. Make it a point to join us, won't you? On behalf of United Reformed Church here in Linden, this is Abounding Grace with our teacher and pastor, Chris Gordon. Each day we come to you for a few minutes with a brilliant look at God's Word. And today, it's our hope and prayer that you come away with a new and fresh view of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ through the preaching, teaching, and study of God's Word. Won't you join us with this edition of Abounding Grace? Here's our teacher and pastor now, Pastor Chris Gordon.
Well, thank you for joining us on this Wednesday session of Abounding Grace, and we are thankful every day to bring these broadcasts to you. If you were with us yesterday, you know we studied Romans chapter 6, and we've looked into this glorious gospel of freedom that has freed us from the old man controlling us so that the body of sin then, in correlation with that old man, lives out its life of darkness. God has freed us from that. He's totally set us free from the law of sin and death and killed our old man. And we looked at yesterday, this is what we must understand as Christians. It all begins in the Christian life by understanding what Christ has done for you. It's interesting that often we put the cart before the horse. Just get out there is what we often hear. No, first sit at the feet of Christ. Listen to what he's done for you. Then that will drive you to go tell others about the gospel. But if you don't understand the gospel, if you aren't ready to mine the word of God and the great doctrines of the Christian faith, forget going out and telling others. You need to first understand these things. So this is the beauty of what Paul's doing for us in Romans chapter 6. It's, by the way, on a personal note, this is what happened with me. I sat and mined the book of Romans, and when this gospel was opened up to my mind, it freed me. And then I was ready to go tell others. Notice in verse 6 of Romans chapter 6, there are these, actually throughout this whole chapter, there are all these aorist tenses. Aorist tenses are telling us something that happened in the past. So what he was saying here is that we died. How shall we who have died to sin live any longer therein? The died was at some point in the past. And so we looked at yesterday, the death was with the death of Christ. When Christ died, our old man was crucified with him. And God was saying to you very clearly, it's done. I've killed your old man for you in Christ. You no longer have to worry about that old man controlling you so that you become enslaved to sin, to live in it again, where you're totally hardened, totally numb, and totally away from the Lord. Oh, some may run away for a period of time, but the Lord will always bring back because he's freed them. The old life is done with. And the old life was that old unregenerate self. The man that controlled us, all of the lusts and desires of the flesh and those things. And we looked at yesterday. When we were controlled in those things, we were dead. Just as Ephesians 2 says, dead in trespasses and sins. But one day, our hearts were opened. We became conscious of our sin. We begin to feel the burden of it. We heard the gospel. You believed, you were justified by faith, and you died because of Christ's death. You died to sin. Being united to him, you realize that when he died, you died. And being united to him, you realize when he rose, you rose. Now that's what's happened. But the question then comes next is, who am I now, right? Who are we now as Christians? Paul desires us to see that God has made us new creatures. See, everyone at this point is still struggling a bit. They're saying, you know, I know God did this. I know it says that. That's all very hard to accept when I still have to deal with the presence of sin in my life. The fact is, sin is alive and well. I'm still falling all the time. I'm still confessing. Why do I seem to make so little progress then? If the old man, Lord, has really been crucified? I want you to notice something very important in verse 6. Knowing this, there's a crucial distinction here. So knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin. That's a whole new thought here. Paul knows exactly what we're thinking. Paul's making a categorical difference here. The old man was crucified, but that's not the same thing as our old human nature. So in other words, though the old man has been crucified, that old life that once controlled me, that does not mean that all presence of sin is done away with. So Paul says, look, the old man is crucified in order that the body of sin might pass away, that we should no longer be slaves to it. So what he's saying is that the old man is crucified, but not the old nature. And that is what we daily struggle with in our lives as Christians, our continual struggle with and our inclination to sin in our lives in this body of sin. Now, God is saying what? In Christ, here's what I've done for you Christians. This is so releasing and so freeing. I've killed your old man. Okay, yes, the body of sin is still present. But since the old man is inoperative and since the old man is dead, you know what it does for you? It robs the continuing presence of sin in your lives of its real power so that it no longer can master and control you. Paul says that here. This death to the old self has two great implications for the current struggle of sin that you're facing right now, and every Christian's struggling with it. Number one, there's a power available to you to put to death sin in your lives. And that's what Paul constantly talked about in Ephesians chapter 1 and 2. There's this power made available to us in the Spirit to put to death, to kill the old deeds of the flesh. But number two, sin should no longer reign in your life. You're no longer a slave to it. It no longer controls you. God says you're free. I've destroyed the old self. So in destroying the old self, what I've done is make it rob the continuing presence of sin in your lives of power so that you're not mastered anymore. Now, if you don't know what the power of sin is, you don't know what slavery to sin is, if you can't see this, you know, just turn on TV or look recently at all these Hollywood actors who are controlled by the dominance and slavery of sin in their lives. Go down to the ER room about 1 a.m. Ask a police officer to take you on a daily ride along. Look at what your own heart is capable of if it were not for the grace of God. Slavery to sin is all around us. So what it means is that, oh yes, the body of sin is alive and well in all of us, but the old man in those who are still living in darkness is controlling that body of sin. And so God is saying, Christian, this is what I've done for you. I've killed your old man so that your body of sin is not mastered anymore. There's power for you now to kill these sins that once controlled you. And he reaffirms this by saying in verse 8 of Romans chapter 6, now, if we died with Christ, we believe that we also shall live with him, knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, dies no more. Death no longer has dominion over him. For the death that he died to sin once for all. But the life he lives to God. So again, he died, you died. He lives, you live. You see this connection with union and being in union with him as the vine and the branches. His life flows into us. That means that death no longer has dominion over him. And since he died to sin once, and now he lives to God, the same is true of you. That's what he's done for you. Your old man was crucified, bringing your death to sin in his death. And now total freedom so that you can never again be a slave of your sin. See, Paul at this point for the first time tells us what to do. Now, I hope we're getting this. This does not mean that sin is not there. Oh, yes, the body of sin is still there. We struggle with that, and we will struggle with that until we die. But the operating principle behind that body of sin that controlled that body of sin, God says he killed, and now has set you with another master who is Christ. And so instead of being in slavery to sin, now you are in slavery to Christ. And he uses that analogy here in Romans chapter 6. So Paul now at this point says, here's what I want you to do. It's the first time he said do anything. Isn't that interesting? And I think this should be a model for us. First, sit at Christ's feet, listen to what he has done for you, then talk about how you should respond. A good model for those pastors who are pumping their people up with moralistic self-help messages. Christianity is not about a list of rules. Christianity says you can't keep the rules. You're a slave to sin. But Christ has freed you because of his great love with which he loved you, and that you should be truly free from the law of sin and death. He now gives you liberty, not bondage, to live in these new bounds. And that's why it's very wrong to present Christianity is a bunch of legalistic rules for people when the Bible never does. You can't have any drink of anything. You can't wear makeup, women. No smiles, and so on and so on and so on. Don't. That all becomes a stumbling block to people when God never made those laws or gave those laws. And we've created them to produce a Christianity that's joyless. God gives freedoms within the bounds of his law. But that doesn't mean that freedom is to be let alone to live however we want. True freedom is being delivered from ourselves that we might now live our lives to God, not ourselves. You see, the answer to the Christian life, my friends, is never some quick formula, never some steps, never some new laws to make us happy. The answer we have seen in Romans is to understand what Christ has already done for you. And that such deliverance brings freedom from the things you were once in bondage to. So that now in freedom, you don't have to be in bondage to them. Notice what he says in verse 11. This is so glorious. We'll get to this tomorrow. Likewise, you also reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. You know what he's saying there? Act upon what is already true. You understand this? God never says to the Christian, do this or else. He never comes and is violently angry in the sky at his children whom he's loved. He's saying, do this because of what's already true of you. Your old man is dead. I've crucified him for you in my son. The things to which you were once slaves, I've broken down for you. And so before my throne room, you're totally justified, totally acquitted, totally washed. Your sins are paid for. You're reconciled to me. You're loved by me. Your old man is gone. You're now free. So then this is the key to the Christian life that so few seem to get. Believing God at his word. Since I have done this for you, now act upon it. Learn to consider and think of yourselves as dead to sin, because that's what I see you as in my beloved Son and being united to him. That's the message of gospel. That will change lives. That will make us excited to go out and tell others of this newfound freedom in Christ.
Opening up the Word of God that we might let its light shine into our hearts and minds. This has been Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon from United Reformed Church here in Linden. We know your time is valuable, and to carve out a few minutes for us means a great deal to us. We thank you for spending time with us. If you would like to contact us here at Abounding Grace, we'd love to hear from you. Your letters of encouragement, your questions, comments, prayer requests, that would mean so much to us to know that you're partnering with us in a prayerful manner such as this. Our desire is to see you grow in Christ, and that's what we've made ourselves available for. 360-318-0429 is our phone number. Again, 360-318-0429. You can also find us on the web, lindenurc.com. A lot of information there about who we are and what we believe. In fact, if you would like to join us for worship, we'll have a map there for you. We meet at 8650 Benson Road here in Linden, Washington. Sunday services, 10 a.m. and 7 p.m. Again, the directions can be found at lindenurc.com or give us a call, 360-318-0429. As always, it's a real privilege and a pleasure spending time with you here in God's Word, and we look forward to the next opportunity that we'll have to spend time with you once again in God's Word. Until then, God bless.